The Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Chav Ches mentions a hava mina and a maskana about a person's yachas to his wife for the purposes of psul idos. The hava mina is that a person is neaman to say idos for his wife when it's to her detriment, when she's an arusa still. For a nesua, for sure, everyone agrees that a person is not neaman to say idos for her at all. But for an ishto arusa, so the Gemara has a hava mina that he should be neaman to say idos, which is lechovasa, which is to her detriment. And then the maskanas ha-Gemara is that he's not neaman to say idos even to her detriment. Both the hava mina and the maskana agree that he can't say idos lezchusa, which will be to her benefit. The question is how to interpret the hava mina and the maskana of the Gemara. The Gemara itself already links the hava mina. It says perhaps he isn't, he's not mitame, not yoresh, etc., not owning for her. So therefore that shows that there's some sort of a chisaron, some sort of a lack at the stage of erusin in korva, which we know from all of Seder Noshim and from Hilchas Ishos, that erusin is not as close of a state as nisuin. The relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bizman Azeh is a relationship of erusin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Bizman Bayis, Shlishi, it's going to be in relationship of Nisuin, Tikri Li Ishi, V'loi Tikri Li Oy Baili, and there's a lot of differences. So there's a lack of Korva during the time of erusin. So the Gemara thought, so therefore the Baal is not a genuine Karov, a relative of the person whose case is being judged is not kosher to be made both Lizchus and Lechova. You can't be made even to the Karov's detriment, because that's what the Torah said. So we think that the Baal is not a genuine Karov. And then the Maskana, it seems, the Gemara says no. That even though he doesn't have all these dinim, even though there's still something lacking in the relationship until the Nisuan takes place, but even so, right, there's Kiruv Hadas. There's Kiruv Hadas. And because there's Kiruv Hadas, he's considered as much of a Karov as anybody else, in the Torah. So Pashtos, if we were to understand the Havamina and the Maskana, we would say as follows, that in the Havamina of the Gemara, so we think that the Baal is not a Karov. The reason that he's possible to be made for her benefit is because he's a Nogeya Bedavar, because he's going to have some monetary benefit if she has monetary benefit, because he is standing in line to get all of the payros from her nechasim. So therefore, he can't say idos for her benefit because he's going to benefit from it. He's a nogeya bedavar. But if he says idos to her detriment, so then he's not going to benefit fakaret. Just the opposite. He's going to lose out from it. So why should we suspect him? He's only a nogeya bedavar. And when he's saying idos to her detriment, he's not a nogeya bedavar. And then the maskanas ha-gemara, we say no, that he's not just a nogeya bedavar. He's a genuine bona fide karov. And since he's a Karov, he's a relative, so his Edus is possible even to her detriment. That's Pashtos of how to explain the Havamina. And the Maskana and Rabbeinu Yona basically says, they say out that this is Pashtos HaSugya. However, Rabbeinu Yona writes that he's not happy with the Pashtos HaSugya, and that he understands that even the Maskana, the Gemara does not mean to say that the Baal is more than a Nogeya Bedavar. Even the Maskana, the Baal, is only a Nogeya Bedavar, and he's not a genuine Karov. And this is a fascinating Rabbeinu Yona. So what changed between the Hav Amina and the Maskana for Rabbeinu Yona? Why in the Hav Amina did we think that he was Neman to say Eidos to her detriment, and the Maskana he's not? So perhaps what's going back and forth is a discussion about Nogeya Bedavar and why Nogeya Bedavar is pasul, and what Nogeya Bedavar is pasul for. There's in general a machlokas between the Sma, the Sefer Meir HaSinayim, and the Levush. The machlokas is as follows. When you have someone who's a Nogeya Bedavar, so why is a Nogeya Bedavar pasul? Is a Nogeya Bedavar pasul because we suspect him that he's going to lie? Or is a Nogeya Bedavar pasul because he's like a Karov? Since he's Nogeya Bedavar, so he has a stake in the matter, meaning if a certain person wins the case, then he himself, the Nogeya, who's testifying, is winning something. And if the other guy loses, if that guy loses the case, then he himself is going to be losing something. So therefore, he belongs to the constellation of people who have, shaychos to the Baldin. So maybe, therefore, he's considered like a baldin, because Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo, you know, he stands to gain from the case, he stands to lose from the case. So just like a litigant who stands to gain and lose from the case can't testify, this Nogeya Bedaver, who also stands to gain or to lose from the outcome of the case, also cannot testify. So again, the two possibilities in this machlokas between the Sma and the Levosh is whether a Nogeya Bedaver is possible because we suspect that he's going to lie in order to gain, in order to benefit, or whether the Nogeya Bedaver is possible because he himself is a litigant in the case, because he stands to gain or lose depending on what the case's outcome is. So there's a number of different machlokos, which different achronim, it's not 100% muchrach, but achronim talk about the following issues as stemming from this question. Issue number one is whether this Nogeya Bedavar is Naaman only, is not Naaman only to make the guy win the case, meaning for his benefit, or whether he also doesn't have Naamanos even to his detriment. In other words, if the whole reason that his Eidos is possible is because we're afraid he's going to lie, so then when he says Eidos, that harms him rather than benefits him, so there certainly should be no concern that he's lying, because people don't lie in order to hurt themselves. They lie in order to gain. So if he says Eidos that's hurting him, that's hurting his cause, that's, you know, going to cause him to lose out, so he's clearly not lying, so we should trust him. But if the psul is because he's a Nogeya Bedaver, because he's a Baal Daver, he's a litigant, So then he's not Naaman one way or another, because a litigant is not Naaman to say Eidos in a case, even to his detriment, because that's the halacha, that if you're a litigant, you're not a witness, and this guy is a litigant, he's not a witness, he has no Naamanos as a witness, both to help himself and to hurt himself. So that's one outcome of this machlokas between the Sma and the Levush, the question of Nogeya Lichova, whether a Nogeya Bedaver is believed to testify in a way that hurts himself or not. And this machlokas between the Sma and the Levush is already a machlokas between the Rosh and the Rashba. This question about Nogeya being made Lichova, it's machlokas between Tshuvas HaRosh and Tshuvas HaRashba. Other Rishonim also cash in with their opinions on the subject. So now one might explain the Havamin and the Maskana of the Gemara as being not about the relationship between a husband and his wife who's in Arusa, but rather everyone understands that the relationship is not one of Korva, rather it's one of being a Nogeya Bedaver. However, the discussion is whether a Nogeya Bedaver is Ne'eman Lachov or not Ne'eman Lachov. The Havamin of the Gemara that the Baal can say Eidos for Ishto Arusa in a case when it's to his detriment holds that Nogeya Bedaver is just because of a Chashash Sheker, and therefore when he's saying Eidos that hurts him, there's no Chashash Sheker. However, the Maskanas HaGemara that says it's Mishum Kiruv Hadas, so therefore it tells you that even Nogeya Bedaver is something more than merely a Chashash Sheker. It's that a person becomes a litigant himself. And therefore, the Maskanas HaGemara, the Baal, for his wife, even though he's only a Nogeya Bedaver, he's not even Naaman to her detriment and to his detriment, because he's a litigant, and litigants are not even Naaman when they say Eidos that hurts themselves. So again, Rabbi Yonah acknowledges that this is a very dachuk pshat in the Gemara. The words, the pashtos, the words of the Gemara don't sound that way, because why does the Gemara invoke Toma and Ananinos and Yerusha? Why does the Gemara talk about Kiruv Hadas? It's not a question so much about Baal and his wife as it is about the lamdus of Nogeya Bedaver. But Rabbi Yonah has other reasons why he feels compelled to say this pshat in Gemara, that even the Maskana, a Baal, is considered only a Nogeya Bedaver for his wife. So, however, most Rishonim go with a Pashtus HaGemara. Most Rishonim go and understand that the Havamina is that a husband and his wife who's only in Arusa are only Nogim Zelazeh. They're not actually Krovim Zelazeh. And then the Maskana, we say that no, they're not merely Nogim, they're even Krovim Zelazeh. And this may tell you something about the nature of psul nogeya and psul karov. The havamina was that kurva, that being a karov is a function of being, you know, like a blood relative, or of being, you know, one, you know, basar echad. You know, a husband and wife are basar echad. That's what the pasuk says in Bereishis, that they are considered like one being, one entity. says, a person will abandon his father and mother and he'll love his wife and they'll be like one being. So therefore, husband and wife are basar echad. And the same thing, father and son, the krovi mishpacha, relatives from the family, are also considered basar echad because they come from the same, you know, the same, you know, gene pool, call it. They're all considered, they have ties of blood and they have ties of bone, like Lavan. When Lavan met Yaakov, he said, "Ach atzmi ubisari ata, you're my bones, you're my flesh." So what did Lavan mean? He meant that they came basically from the same stack, so therefore they're blood relatives. So the hafamin of the Gemara, maybe, was that that kurva for the function of edus is defined by blood relationships, and a husband and his wife who's in arusa don't yet have their relationship. That only comes when there's nisuin. That's tied together with the status of she'er. It's tied together with him being Yorish, or it's tied together with Aninos, it's tied together with those halachos. And in the Maskana, we say they know that when we talk about kurva for Eidos, it's not a function of blood relationship whatsoever. Rather, kurva for Eidos is a function of kirov hadas. It's a function of the feeling of emotional closeness. And therefore, a husband and his wife, even when she's in Arusa, still feel that same emotional closeness, that same kirov hadas, as a lower... has a lower threshold than blood relationships, which only exist between husband and wife after the nisuin, and therefore he can be considered a karov even at this earlier stage in their marriage. So that's the second way of understanding the havamina and the maskana of the Gemara. The havamina was that he is only a nogeya bedavar. The maskana is that he's a karov, and what that's taloyin is whether kurva is a function of blood relationship or whether kurva is a function of kirov hadas and a feeling of emotional attachment.